Hello, and welcome to Liberal Rehab. Today I want to talk to you a little bit about racism. It's a huge problem, and it's one of the ugliest things that's going on in America today. But it's not probably the way you think if you're a liberal. Before I start, and I hope I do this before every time I do one of these, I want to remind you, you always have to do everything with love. You always have to feel love for everyone in the situation that you're in. If you want to get a correct decision, if you want to make sure you're thinking properly, because our ego doesn't give us the right answers. It gives us our subjective answer based on what we want and how it affects us. But in order to see clearly, and not just through the laser focus of your ego, but see the whole picture clearly, you have to love everyone involved. That's what love your neighbor as yourself and all religion, the Judeo-Christian religion, is about. It's about a tool to free your mind from your ego, which sees the world like an animal, only how it affects you. You know, if you win the Olympics, if you're if another country wins the Olympics and you're from that country, you cheer. And if you're from your country, you want the guy from your team to win. But why? It's ego. Okay, it's nice. It feels good. Yay, we won, la la la. But, you know, you can love every athlete. Treat every athlete like they're from your country. They're from your planet. If it was the Interplanetary Olympics, you would be rooting for them. But now you're not. See, because your ego decides how to interpret every situation through your subjective ego. And that's why you need to love. That's what the secret of religion is all about. Of love your neighbor and yourself, as yourself. It's to free your mind. It's to free your mind so that you can see the whole world clearly and you can see everything going on. Now let's talk about racism a little bit. The number one thing that can show you who are the racists in the political debate, you just have to look at their actions and look at their words. Republicans want, and conservatives want, school choice for everyone. Now, why do they want school choice? I mean, most white kids go to better schools. White schools, the black schools are much worse than the white schools. The white kids they have mediocre schools. It's not like there's a catastrophe in guns and gangs and drugs and horrible teachers and horrible dropout rates. The white kids need choice. When we want to give school choice, we're talking about the poor that can't afford to move out of their horrible school district. And minorities, especially blacks, that are in the worst schools and stuck in them and have no choice. We want choice for those Americans, the black children, American children, who are stuck in these horrible schools. Now, if you're racist, you would not be promoting school vouchers. If you're racist, you like it just the way it is right now. You like it and you don't want to change it. Blacks are in horrible schools. A lot of them are going into gangs and drugs and into criminal activity. Not most of them, but a large percent. Enough that it's a problem. And the kids aren't learning. We want to get them out of those schools. And who's opposed to that? Democrats. Democrats don't want black children to have a choice. They want to keep it the way it is, and they want to give more money to the schools to, so that they can become better. But who is at the schools that's getting the money? The unions, the politically tied unions that fund money to Democrats, and the Democrats help them keep control over the entire education industry by forcing you to go to their schools and for them to get paid even when they do a horrible job. Can't you see clearly? Can't you see clearly that Democrats are the racists? I'm going to give you a lot of examples. But they don't want to give black kids choice. They come up with these ridiculously stupid excuses. Like when half the kids go, they're going to lose their budget and they won't have enough money. But if half the kids go with half the money, you only have to teach half as many kids. And 95% of the cost of the school for the government is labor. If you have half as many kids, you need half as many teachers. That's their problem. That's what they don't like about school choice, is that they lose their money. Because when you don't have a choice, they are set for life with $1 trillion of government spending, federal, state, and local combined. All government spending on schools is $1 trillion. And they get it all, most of it, because they don't give you a choice. If you have a choice, then that money might go to other teachers or other schools that actually do a good job. And they don't want that, because they know when you have a choice, you're going to probably choose someone else, because their schools, the union schools are horrible in many places, especially the poor and black communities. We need to give these kids choice. We need to get them out of the public schools. We need to but even just giving them a choice will improve the public schools, because the teachers in the public schools will say, "Oh my God, we're gonna be out of a job next year because every parent is gonna choose a different school. We better start being attentive to that the parents are happy, like private schools are, and they'll start to be attentive. But they're still gonna lose most of their students because other schools will do it better." This argument that they're basically literally telling it to your face, that they don't want to let your kids go out of the horrible school because it's going to take their money away. They literally tell you it and make it seem like, oh, but it's for you. It's not for you. If you have a choice, you'll have a choice. You'll have a choice of 10 different schools. Schools don't have to have 1,000 kids in the school. Schools can be 100 kids. I went to a private school. There were 30 kids or 40 kids in every grade, and that's it. And it was from kindergarten to eighth. And it was 30 to 40 kids in each grade. If you give people school choice, which means that the $10,000 a year that the average $11,000 a year that the government spends on schools is going to be in the parents' hands. They're going to decide which school gets it. And we can have standards for schools, just like private schools follow certain standards. They have to teach science, math, English, and civics. That's what they should be. I don't know if they do that anymore. They have to teach basic things, let the parent choose the school. And what's going to happen is that good people in the black community, in every community, are going to open up a school. They're going to rent a place, and they're going to open up a school and make a profit. And if you don't like making a profit, then some liberal will open a school there and he'll charge the parents less because he's going to make sure he doesn't make a profit. God bless you. Go and do it. Go and do it. But you can do it. The parents will have $11,000 vouchers and anyone can open a school and cover the costs of the education. Hire a good teacher. Have a classroom. Have chairs, desks, books, everything. Private schools are already doing it. And they have much more benefits. They offer a lot more. Because parents are paying $15,000, $10,000, $15,000 a year out of their own pocket, and they have a choice, so the private schools offer them a lot for that amount of money. And let all kids have that opportunity. A lot of public schools get more in funding, even in the inner cities, the worst schools, their budget per student per year is higher than private what private schools costs. Why don't you just let parents have that money to choose? So everyone can send their kid to a private school and out of these hellhole schools. And if they like, if you like the public school, send your kid to the public school. If they have 200 kids or instead of 1,000, then they only need teachers and staff for 200 kids. And the government public schools don't pay rent, don't pay taxes, have security by the cops, have all these extra budgets in their things in the budget for the teachers' pensions and healthcare, which is separate from the school budget. So they have a huge advantage over every other school that's opened by a private individual or a group of individuals. Let's get these kids out of the schools. We have to into better schools. We have to do it now. Every year is a disaster. Give parents choice. We're going to have an industry of education, of constantly improving, just like we've had constantly improving sushi. It used to be expensive, now it's freaking awesome and cheap. With flat screens, with computers, with fitness centers, everything is improving because there's competition, and the people providing the service know that they have to improve and they have to give a low price because there's one down the street that's doing it. And the ones that do a good job will get the customers. And then the ones that don't do a good job will lose their customers. They'll eventually have to close. And the other parents will just go to one of the other ones. The parents that are in the school that closes can choose a different one. And don't blame the kids that there's kids that are out of control that no school will accept. Get your kid under control. If the kid is out of control so much that no one is going to accept him, there's a serious issue here. And let some good American, liberal or black or liberal, open a school for kids with special needs. With all the teachers that care so much, and the union teachers, I'm sure there's some that were willing to take on the role of helping and teaching kids that need, that have needs extra attention or extra violent or whatever the BS excuse there is that some kids won't be accepted. Every kid is precious. Every kid has a light. Every person has a light. And they can be taught. They need a role model. A lot of the black kids don't have a role model. 70-80% of them are born in single parent homes, single mother homes. They need if there was a guy there that taught them, was a proper role model instead of the criminal who's making tons of money because crime pays until you get caught. They don't see the guys in jail. They hear the guy went to jail, but they see the guys while you're committing crime before you get caught. You're making money. You stick a gun in someone's face, you take their purse, and you have $300-$400 like that with the snap of your finger. You steal a car, you have a few thousand dollars in an hour. You sell drugs, you do whatever, you know, crime pays if you're not caught. And we need these kids to have role models. These kids to have good schools to go to. We need everyone to be a role model. There need to be 5-10 different good role models in their life. Anyway, the point is that only the racists don't want you to have school choice. Only racists want blacks to stay in the schools exactly as the way they are now. Only racists do that. And only no racist wants to give blacks school choice. No racist wants to give blacks choice to go to, with the money and funding in the parents' hand, that they can go to any school and say, here, I can pay the $10,000. And the schools will expand, good schools will expand. It's not hard to expand the school. You rent another space, and you put, you know, or you move to a bigger place. It's highly profitable. You can make $10,000 per student. In a class of 30, that's $300,000 a year for the class. Okay, you need one teacher at a time. So one teacher for an 8-hour day. It's how much you can pay the teacher $70,000 a year. You're still left with $230,000 left over to pay for rent, to pay for it'll cover the rent. It'll cover everything. Okay, you can easily have 2 or 3 teachers per 30 kids in the school. Is one staff per 10 kids, is that good? Because for $300,000 a year, you pay three teachers $60,000 a year, that's $180,000 a year, you're left with $120,000 a year. Okay, you can rent a place for $10,000 a month. You don't need a place on Main Street. You can be a little off on the side. You can easily find a place for $10,000 a month that has 4 classrooms. 4 rooms. Okay, but the first 30 class of 30 already paid for everything. Now you have another $120,000 per each class extra after you pay the 3 teachers per class. There's plenty of money there. Anybody can open a school and teach, and the parents will choose. If a school isn't doing a good job, you move in the next year. Move mid-year. Private schools are flexible. They'll accept you in the middle of the year. They'll let you pay by the month, and they'll care about your needs and your child's needs. Anyway, only racists will, like I said, and get it through your head, only racists want to keep blacks in schools where they are and not give them a choice. If you were in that neighborhood going with your kid going to that school that some of these black kids are going to, you would freaking never say, oh, I don't want a choice, or I want my kid to finish all 12 years here. You would never say that. Only a racist would say that, because these liberal racists, they don't want blacks in their neighborhoods. They don't want black kids coming out. They're scared. They're the biggest racists. But we need to do it because the black community needs help, and they can have the same community like the rest of the country, like whites. They can. It doesn't have to be crime. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be full of crime and despair and anger and single parenthood and bad schools. It doesn't have to be like that. It can be good schools and good families and little crime and safety. And it can be that way. Liberals act like it can't be that way, because that's the only reason you wouldn't try to fix it. The only reason you wouldn't say, hey, let's get this freaking community. Everyone in there wants to live in peace. Even the gangsters. They wish they could live in peace. But they've been led down the wrong path. Young kids are very susceptible to ideas of, even if it's from a gang member or a thug life, you know? And especially when it's glorified in the culture and the liberal media and Hollywood, it's glorified. They're giving awards to drug addicts and pimps and gang members. Anyway. Now, another thing they say is that voter ID is racist. Now, remember, if the only reason they're crying racism every time a conservative wants to make voter ID or wants to or opposes Obamacare or does anything, everything that conservatives do, there's a Democrat saying it's because they're racist. Because they're racist because there's a black man in the White House. Or they're racist because they want to block blacks from voting. They are trying to divide and isolate blacks. Blacks open the paper every day, read the news every day, watch the news every day, and every day they hear that someone is racist against them. That conservatives are trying to block the black vote. They get angry. Conservatives are against Obamacare because they don't want black people to have health care, and they don't like it because there's a black man in charge. And the blacks see this and they're angry. And what's the most horrible thing about it is it's not true. No conservative is against Obamacare because Obama is black. Not one single one. Conservatives are against government health care because that's what conservative means. That you're against government running industries. You're for limited government. It doesn't matter who's black, if Obama's black or white or Martian, doesn't matter. Somehow, though, you will freaking say and try to create a race war over something that is obviously false, but people believe it. They're trying to create a race war and divide and isolate blacks. So they stay where they are, controlled, dependent, voting Democrat, stuck in the worst schools. This is what they're doing, and blacks are playing along. Blacks are falling for it, and it's scary, and it's sad, and it's a disaster. And it's unbelievable to accuse whites of being racist every single chance they can to create a race war for political power. And blacks have bought into it so much and are so angry because of what they believe and see and what they've been taught and learned and what the liberal media is constantly drilling into their heads. They're so angry that many whites are racists because they don't want to be around someone that's angry at whites. If you're white, you don't want to be around anyone that's angry at whites. Does that make sense? It's not racism. You can love blacks, but still be like, I don't want to be around someone that, a black person that blames whites, thinks that whites have wealth because on the backs of their grandparents. I don't, you know, whether even if they were right, I don't want to be around it. And this is the same with any person. No one wants to be around anyone that blames their race for the other races. Even if I love blacks, which I do, doesn't matter. If I think that they're angry at me, that they think they have the right to steal from me, because anyway, whites stole so much from blacks, so now you get to steal from any white person you want. A lot of black youth, you know, they think they're morally right. They're not bad. They think they're doing the right thing. You know, they were taught they were slaves every day in the public school. They're slaves. Slavery still lingers, and whites are racist, trying to oppress them against the black president just because he's black, and they are trying to get you put voter ID so you can't vote somehow. That logic I don't understand. They think they're, the blacks think they're doing the right thing. They're like, hey, you know, these freaking whites deserve it. I don't care if I steal a car. I don't care. I don't feel guilty about it. We were robbed completely. There was slavery, but it has nothing to do with anything going on today. And there's no racism when it comes to this, like what it was with slavery. There's no racism. I live in Queens. It's the most diverse county and place in the world. There's people from every single part of the world living here. We are the most diverse area, little community in the world. And we all get along, blacks and whites and Hispanics and Asians and Filipinos and everyone and anyone, and we all, there's in every store you go to, there's any kind of rainbow of people, and everyone gets along, and there's no problem. But I know that if I go into the black community as a white person, I might get some anger toward me just because I'm white. I love blacks, but that's what I know is going to happen. I know there could easily be some black guy that hates whites because he's angry because he read the liberal media every day of it and went to public school. And he's angry and I can be attacked, so I don't want to be around it. Look with BLM, look how they're acting. Look, they hunt down whites to beat up whites. It's not the first riot that blacks chase down whites to beat whites. There's anger there. And when you're so angry, and you shouldn't even be angry, you're being spun into this anger, but then you're angry, whites react. Whites are individuals, human people too. Born, one day they're born, they grow up, they're kids, they have parents. We all came into this world clueless. We're like, oh, look at us, we're alive. Oh, here I am. Oh, I'm white. Oh, apparently I'm responsible for slavery for 300 years ago. We're all born here out of... We just appeared here, and all of a sudden we realize we're alive. That's it. We're not Don't blame. We got to stop blaming each other. Anyway, voter ID. Somehow, Democrats say that voter ID is racist. Now, this one I don't understand. This is a complete lie. They are, again, doing one of the most horrible things in the world. They're accusing racism and dividing the races, because every time you accuse racism, you're dividing the races, because all the blacks are like, oh, fuck. And all the whites are like, oh, snap, they're angry. And they think we're all racists because we want voter ID. Because we want to have people to show ID before they vote. We want to make sure that the election is secure. And how do blacks not have ID? How is it possible that blacks don't have ID more than whites? Don't they go to school? Don't they have jobs? They don't have bank accounts? They don't go on planes? They don't get insurance? They don't send their kids to school? They don't get on welfare, Medicare? They don't need ID? How do they not have ID? And if Democrats really believed that there was a lot of blacks that don't have ID, that can't do basic things, because without an ID you can't do basic things every day of your life. They don't seem to care about that. If you really believe that Dems don't have ID, you wouldn't only complain about it once every 4 years when it's time to vote. What about the rest of the 4 years? These people can't, if they don't have ID, they obviously can't function in society. You really can't. How you function? You get a credit card, get rent, find a job, get a job. Don't you need an ID? Shouldn't if Democrats really cared, what they would be saying was, we're going to set up the DMV with four times as many tellers handling ID to make sure that everyone can come in and quickly get an ID. And we're going to send everyone that doesn't have ID forms to make sure that they can easily get ID. We're going to make it free. That's what Democrat leaders in the black communities would be saying, because they would be completely concerned that there's so many black people without ID that can't function every single day in society. You don't hear them care about that at all. The only things they do is, oh, by the way, there's a lot of blacks that don't have ID that are probably suffering and their lives are 10 times worse because they can't do basic things. And they're not even, you know, we need to get these people ID. Let's help them get ID so they can function every day of the year and have a life with their family and raise their kids. And how do you not have ID? But they don't care. The only reason they say they care that they don't have ID is to accuse racism, divide the races, and prevent ID in the voting, so there's no way to make sure the voting is secure. To make it impossible to know if someone's freaking cheating. Or someone walks in, or 100 people go, a group of 100 union workers decide to go to 6 polling places, each on their own, they all have their own cards, they each go and add 700 votes, and nobody even knows, because they have a list of all the people that died, all the people that moved, all the people that aren't voting, that are away at college. They have these lists of all the voters, and they're calling them to find out if they're going to vote. So anyway, even if it's true, which it's not, that blacks don't have ID, let's look. Like in Texas, there's voter ID law, and it's in the courts, and there's like, they're saying, oh, the whites are trying to stop, the conservatives are trying to stop blacks from voting. Well, did you know that in Texas, it's 84% white and 12% black? Okay, so I did some math. Now, let's give the Democrats the benefit of the doubt. Let's say that 50% of all blacks don't have ID. Half of all blacks don't have ID. Let's say that, okay? If half of all blacks don't have ID, and only 10% of whites don't have ID, because, you know, we gotta have at least, if 50% of blacks don't have ID, we can say that 10% of whites don't have ID. I know Democrats think whites are superior to blacks, but there still can be that 10% of whites don't have ID. And using these numbers, giving the Democrats complete argument validity that actually blacks don't have ID, which is false, but I'm going to play along. If we do some math, it's 12% black in Texas. That means if 50% of blacks don't have ID, 6% don't have ID. 6% of the voters don't have ID who are black. That's 6 out of 100. Okay. Now, 84% of Texas is white. So if we take 10% of that, that's 8.4% are whites that don't have ID. So even if the voter ID law goes into effect, and even if only 10% of whites have ID, there's 10% of whites that don't have ID for some reason that vote, and 50% of blacks that don't have ID that vote, you still find that it would, that voter ID would block 8.4, 10% of the whites from voting, 8.4 out of 100 whites from voting, and it would block 6 out of 100 blacks from voting. So what I'm saying is that the voter ID law blocks more whites than blacks. If the voter ID law goes into effect, and if even if 50% of blacks don't have ID, which it's not that number, maybe maximum 20%, okay? Which would mean if it was 20%, that would mean it would be 2.4 blacks out of 100 voters would be blocked, and 8.4 whites out of 100 voters would be blocked. And it, even if it was 10% whites didn't have ID and 20% blacks didn't have ID, the number would be 8.4 whites blocked for every 2.4 blacks blocked, which means there would be four times as many whites blocked than blacks blocked, even if blacks were twice as more likely to not have ID. So the whole argument right here, I just blew the whole argument out of the water, because why would they put in a law that would block four times as many whites from voting as black? Why would Texas do that? They would narrow the margin between blacks and whites. They would make it a less of a margin, because the voter ID law, if you're 84%, it blocks more people out of the whites than out of the blacks. In Wisconsin, for example, where Milwaukee is, where they don't want voter ID either, it's 97% white and 3% black, the state. So voter ID laws, even if they blocked 100% of blacks, and only 10% of whites, it would still be three times as many whites would be blocked from voting as blacks. So these voter ID laws would apply to 10 times more whites than blacks. But they lie to you because they want to divide and they want to keep you isolated and they want to convince you that there's racism and they want to be able to cheat the vote because they're racist liars and they're capable of anything. Right? The other thing that, you know, like I mentioned already, how could they say that people are opposed, that conservatives are opposed to Obamacare because the person in the White House is black? That's what they literally tell you. People think that people are against, that conservatives are against government health care because there's a black man in the White House. They literally say that, and it's impossible to be true because conservatives are against government health care, period. Doesn't matter if it was Hillary, doesn't matter if it was Donald Trump or George Bush. If he said, let's have universal health care, every conservative would be against it. I don't want government health care, and I would never, ever, ever want government health care. You think it's good, I know you do, but in another podcast, maybe I'll explain it to you. But it's very logical. Anyway, Black Lives Matters, this is just a group designed to go out and protest every time there's an incident between a white and a black person, every chance they get, so they can cry racism to divide and alienate our country, to divide black Americans from white Americans. This is the textbook of how you divide a country. You cry racism every chance you get. That's what you do. You know, if there's two families, and it's the Browns and the Smiths, and there's some guy, every time the Brown and the Smith meet something, that he convinces the Brown that the Smith is a racist. That he didn't do something, he did something because he's a racist, and every time the Brown does something, he convinces someone crying racism every time they interact, you know, and they believe it, people in the families believe it, you're going to cause tension. This is how you cause tension. And if you bring up a case every chance you get, every day, all day, nonstop, accusing racism, there's going to be war. That's how you do it. So please, black people, do not freaking react to this. Do not believe it. If there's whites that are racist, it's mostly because they're afraid. Be loving, be caring, and whites, be loving, be caring. Let's work together. We live together, we're gonna live together. We want all people to be free and have wealth and prosperity and safety and happiness. Let's work together. Let's stop creating a race war and stop voting Democrat. Why would racists, if conservatives were racists, why would they ever want to defund Planned Parenthood? It's 80% minority neighborhoods. The Planned Parenthoods are 80% in the minority neighborhoods. They're killing and destroying the black population. Millions and millions and millions of black children, more than whites as a percentage, are being killed. If you stop a Planned Parenthood, you're saving 10 times more black babies than whites. Black and brown babies than whites. Why would any conservative be for that? Why would any racist, if they're racist, why would they be for that? Only the racist would want to do that. Only a racist would want to put as many Planned Parenthoods as possible in as many minority neighborhoods as possible. Make sure that the blacks can come in at any time that they want to get an abortion, because we want to end that pregnancy. That's what a racist would want. All racists want to fund Planned Parenthood. No one that's racist wants to defund Planned Parenthood. If you want to defund Planned Parenthood, by definition, you can't be a racist, unless you're the dumbest racist in the world. Right? Let's look at, you know, Black Lives Matter and this arrest rate, and they're saying that blacks are shot more. It's not true. So I have great news for all America, all black people. This is great news. You're not being targeted for your race. You're not being targeted for your race. You're being targeted. The communities where there's more crimes are the ones that are being targeted. I'm going to give you a little statistic. And there are similar statistics across cities across the country. In New York City, 98% of the shootings in New York, five boroughs, are black or brown shooters. 98%. 2%. 2 out of 100 shootings are by whites. 98 out of 100 shootings are by blacks. Now, how many arrests would you think there should be if 98 out of 100 of the shooters are white, or black, or brown, and 2 out of 100 are white? What do you think the arrest numbers are going to look like? Let's do a little math. Let's think about it. No emotion, no racism involved at all. Just pure basic math. What's going to happen? 98% of the people arrested are going to be black or brown, and 2% are going to be white. That's just math. No racism involved. Everyone involved can love each other. The police can all love all people equally. That's irrelevant. 98 out of 100 of the arrests will be black or brown. Because it just so happened that 98 out of 100 of the shooters are black or brown. These are shootings with victims. Okay, and I promise you, in New York, police are not arresting shooters who shoot at victims. They're not arresting white people saying, oh, you're white, and you just shot at someone, oh, and we're not gonna arrest you. I mean, this is a statistic where everyone is arrested when there's a shooting. And there's a victim. And 98 out of 100 times it's black or white. So you would expect 98 out of 100 arrests to be black or brown. Now, it doesn't matter what the percent of whites there are in the community. It doesn't matter what percent of the blacks there are in the community. It doesn't matter what percent of brown are in the community. It doesn't matter if the community is 80% white and 20% black or brown, or 2% white and 98% black or brown. It doesn't matter that number. What matters is the crimes and the cases. It just so happened that blacks and browns commit most of the violent crimes. By far. It's not whites' fault that they don't commit more crimes, so they don't get arrested more. That's not it, but there's no racism involved here. Blacks are arrested more because they commit more crime. I mean, most of these cases where these blacks were shot by police, they have rap sheets of 15, 20 arrests. Most whites have no arrests because they didn't commit any crimes. I live in white neighborhoods. You don't ever see a police officer because they don't have to come here because there's no crime. They're in the black community because they're called into the black community by black residents 10, 15, 20 times a night and day, every day. So that's why they're in the black community. They're not racist. They go to where the crime is. They don't want to go into the black neighborhood and go and try to arrest the gang members. That's where the crime is. Don't blame them. Right? And most blacks, even though there's a high level of crime from blacks, 80 to 90% of blacks are not part of that crime. There's a gang activity, there's a criminal element, there's a drug element in that does a lot of the crimes, but it's 10 to 20% of blacks at most. The other 80% of blacks, they're the same shooting rate as the whites. They're like one out of two out of 100 also. They have the same criminal level as the whites. Most blacks are in the same category as whites. So when I give you these statistics, it's very unfortunate we're dividing it by black and white, but 80% at least of blacks are the same, are part of that impressive 2 out of 100 that whites are in. It's just that small 10, 20% of the criminal element of the blacks that commit so many shootings and so many that the numbers become skewed, and all blacks, the other 80% of blacks that never commit crimes, are lobbed into it together with them. So, but 80% of blacks are just like whites, and just as peaceful, just as law-abiding, just as good, just as valuable. All have beautiful lights. All people have light. A lot of these gangsters and criminals in the black community and all over, but especially in the black, they think they're doing good. A lot of them think that this is the way it has to be because society is unfair. That's what they've been taught. They can't make it. I mean, did they ever go on a job interview? There's so much opportunity here. We need to get the government out of the economy, off businesses' back. You know, businesses want to, when they make a $1 million profit, they want to start hiring more people to open more and making more millions. They want to hire, and build, and spend on businesses that hire. And we can have a growing economy, trading, constantly trading, and people trying to produce the best trade, the best product, to create the best trade for themselves, but in the meantime are creating products. And we need all this to grow. We don't need, every time someone creates a profit, the government and Hillary Clinton and the Democrats are going to take half and steal it and make it disappear into their friends or unions or their circles, the political elite's pocket. That's where it's going. You think these bureaucrats are robots? You think they don't know there's billions of dollars at stake, billions of dollars in budgets, where there's money that one little check can freaking change their life? Anyway, I hope you learned something. I hope I made sense. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.